This is 89.1 WEMU, and I'm David Fair. From 1966 to 1986, Gelman Sciences made medical filters using a cancer-causing chemical. That chemical has contaminated some of the area's groundwater. When and where was the 1,4-dioxane pollution first discovered? In this 11th segment of our ongoing Green Room series on the contamination plume, Barbara Lucas visits Ground Zero with the man who discovered the pollution 32 years ago.
I'm with Dan Bicknell, environmental consultant and president of Global Environment Alliance.
And it's been a while since I was out here.
We're near Wagner Road, just west of the former Gelman Sciences, now Paul Corporation. I follow Bicknell through a maze of trails through University of Michigan's Saginaw Woods.
Unless we needed to go the other way on this gravel trail.
I feel like we're in the middle of nowhere.
No, I think we should go back the other... Here we go.
Finally, our destination.
That's the University of Michigan Third Sister Lake, beautiful lake. When we were kids, we used to sneak in and swim out here.
Where were you when you saw the drain?
Well, when I was here with some friends, we were walking around the lake, and I knew that this was supposed to be a spring-fed lake, and there were supposed to be no discharges coming into it. But around this area, I saw that there was this stream coming from the Gelman property into Third Sister Lake, and I knew that that wasn't right.
Later, driving by Gelman Sciences, he saw acres and acres of spray irrigation towers. They were intended to neutralize dioxane in wastewater through uptake in the turf grass, but due to a slope,
all of the water really just ran off in different streams down into this creek.
So he went back to the creek, collected a water sample, and took it to a lab. They found it contained 1,4-dioxane.
You were how old?
I was a grad student at the University of Michigan in 1984 when I found this problem out and wrote the small report that later was submitted to the county and the state. And
Bicknell says the report wasn't warmly welcomed by the local paper or the state.
DEQ said that my data wasn't worth a toot, was a quote that they had in the papers.
But he persevered. Report in hand, he accompanied the state to a meeting at the Gelman plant. He says it was then that they discovered an illegal drain under the parking lot asphalt, discharging dioxin-laden wastewater to the creek.
How did you feel about all this?
Well, I thought it was pretty outrageous that Gelman was violating permits and having illegal discharges without permits, and it was contaminating a pristine lake. And at that time, I didn't understand that it had all these lagoons that were allowing the dioxane to get into the groundwater.
But he knew enough to be concerned. When there was no action from the authorities, he convinced some of the neighbors to petition for well water testing.
When they came back with like 100,000 parts per billion in a drinking water well, and as you know, the cleanup level for US EPA is 3.5, you knew that there was severe damage. And that's when it cascaded and all the other homes around here were sampled and put on public water.
He said he had no clue of the magnitude of the problem.
I didn't realize it would grow to be, you know, 4 miles long and a mile wide, wiping out residential wells and going into the city, potentially harming people through vapor intrusion.
It took nearly 2 years before Gelman quit discharging dioxane to the environment. By then, Bicknell had left Michigan for a job with the U.S. EPA. Now back in the area, he's outraged the plume has been allowed to expand. Barbara Lucas, 89.1 WEMU News.
In the next segment of the Green Room, we'll bring you Dan Bicknell's current call for action to address the 1,4-dioxane plume in the Ann Arbor area. We should note for you, Paul Corporation has refused repeated requests for comment. I'm David Fair, and this is 89.1 WEMU.